enjoy a good squeeze.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Margot.
And I'm August.
And this is A Good Squeeze.
The show where we squeeze a little bit of that James Bond into our everyday lives.
That's right. And today we did it extra special.
Yes, this tale we are about to tell is a great example of what we mean by squeezing a little James Bond into your life, your day-to-day, or any occasion or opportunity that comes about.
Yeah, we took that rind and we squeezed the life out of it. Got a little droplet, maybe, and took a little sip and went, delicious.
Garbage. Because Margot and I, we took an opportunity and got to see our first ever James Bond band. A band that played a James Bond theme song.
That's right. That's what James Bond band means to all you novices out there. A band that played one of the themes of the opening credits of the James Bond movies.
That's the subtitle translation there.
That's the title of the episode.
But yeah, you know, I saw that the band Garbage was coming to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And admittedly, I do not know Garbage beyond James Bond. Yes, I grew up with that theme song. Yes, I watched that music video. But I had never really sought out Garbage as a band with their music catalog. Had you, Margo?
The song they sang was The World Is Not Enough, right?
That is correct. They sang the James Bond theme to the 1999 movie, The World Is Not Enough, indeed.
I had no idea they existed prior to you telling me about them. I love the name. I loved Garbage. I thought that was just so... me.
So what?
So me. So just kidding.
What?
Me. Sorry. So it was so good. It was very good. I don't know. I just, my wrestling name is Sweet Garbage. So, you know, it's just kind of resonated with me. But what was he going to say? I never sought it out. I didn't know what to expect. You played the song. Not a huge fan of that song.
Probably. You don't like The World Is Not Enough?
I don't dislike it, but I'm not.
Get out of here. Get the hell out of here.
Get a broom, you scat, scat. But I don't know. It's like, like that's the best way I can like describe it. I was like, yeah, I don't know. And you know what? I'll bring this up as we describe how the night went, but we're going to put a pin on that opinion. And why don't you just start kind of painting the picture of how we immersed ourselves into this experience?
How am I supposed to just brush that off?
I'm going to bring it up again. Okay. Don't you worry. You know I interrupt.
Yeah, that's true. I'll probably start here in 3 seconds. She'll be like, anyway.
You know what's funny? I actually just held back a comment because I was about to be like, also, I think my goal for this episode is not to interrupt, but I was about to interrupt you to say it.
And you kind of just did.
No, you took a breath. You took one of your famous August... deep breaths before starting a sentence, and then you're like, everyone interrupts me. I'm like, it's because you take a humpback whale level breath before you start your sentence. I love you. I'm sorry.
It's called candor. It's called pacing. Pacing, damn it.
It's called complaining for no reason, okay? There it is. See? Ah.
So why would any human being be like, I'm going to interrupt there?
Me. You've met my family.
So, just to then do what you tell me to, I will paint the picture of what led us to seeing Garbage. Yes, I started off by saying, hey, I saw that Garbage was playing in Pittsburgh, and I know, hey, they're a James Bond band, so why not go see it? Well, when buying concert tickets, in general, you want to know the band a little bit at least, or a couple songs. We knew none. None.
Yeah.
So,
and it was kind of a gamble if whether or not they were going to play The World Is Not Enough.
Yes. And you interrupted me. So I did. One ding.
Yeah, that's all right.
Three dings. I mute your mic.
Yeah.
Will they play The World Is Not Enough was the big question. We just assume so. It's one of their bigger songs. We'd imagine, once again, we're both kind of novices in this regard with Garbage. We assumed it was their biggest song.
Yeah.
Was it? Who knows? Garbage fans. But, you know, I was like, not even let's take a gamble, but this sounds like a nice night out. It was like a Tuesday in Pittsburgh, and life is stressful. We all have our day-to-days, so we both saw it as an like a chance of escape. Let's go to a concert. I pitched like, hey, how about we make it like a nice date night? We get a little dressed up, go to this new restaurant that opened in our little neighborhood, which is a cocktail bar that serves food, of course. And, you know, let's just make a night out of it and squeeze a little James Bond by going to see Garbage. So we did just that. We decided to, you know, like I said, it was a Tuesday. It's a school night, and we hit the road and tried out 1930s is what this restaurant was called. What were your thoughts on 1930s here in Pittsburgh?
First off, I'd like to point out I didn't interrupt you once.
I realized, so I had to address you.
Yeah. Yeah. What did I think of 1930s? Well, you made this comment about it. It was serving German food because it was Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
In a restaurant called 1930s.
Like, hmm.
Little edgy. Little on the line there.
A little spicy.
A little spicy. Well, I don't know what they were trying to squeeze, you know, but like it was, you know, kind of like, oh, all right then. Food though, real good. Real delicious. I had Spetzel. They have a Mondo list of cocktails. It's like, you know, when like in medieval times, someone would go like, yeah, 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 and then unravel like a scroll and it would go down the stairs and stuff. That's how long that menu was, in case someone was like, but how long was it, Margo? And I, that's how long it was. Yeah, it was a real nice atmosphere. Yinzer, what do you call it? Service people, staff.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm blanking? Waitress, Jesus.
Yinzer waitress.
Margo. Yinzer, by the way, for all you people who aren't from Pittsburgh, is not a derogatory term. It is not any kind of slur. It's just a description for a Pittsburgher who's very Pittsburgh-ish. So someone who's clearly born and raised here, has like deep Pittsburgh accent, Pittsburgh mannerisms, Pittsburghisms in general. So that's the context there. Because as I said, I was like, Yinzer. I'm like, that sounds harsh to those who don't know.
Yeah, basically, she approached her table like, hi, Yin's doing.
Yeah.
What you want to eat?
What do you want? And we're like, Jesus. Hey, hello. Like, very abrupt. You know, you ask them a question, they're like, I don't know. Yeah, just, you know, that's how it's made. I'm like, thank you. That's very helpful. But she was nice. Yeah, nothing to complain about.
Sure.
I had some Spetzel, and I think some, that's all I remember, Spetzel.
Some meat in there.
Some meat in there, some kind of sausage. No, you had sausage.
What did I have? Yeah. I don't remember.
Schnitzel. Schnitzel and Spetzel.
Schnitzel and Spetzel.
Schnitzel and Spetzel.
God bless you.
Yeah, it was very good. What did you think?
I had like the sampler platter of the German cuisine. I had the Spetzel, I had the Schnitzel, I had the
Itzel.
The Itzel and the Mitzel. And it did come with, that was a good opportunity to be like, and Dasher and Blitzen and Comet and Cupid.
Damn. Do it now. We can edit it out. Yeah.
It did. The only reason I ordered this dish was, yeah, it came with a little bit of everything, but it also came with a shot of Jaeger.
It did.
Like, I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
And it wasn't like, oh, you mix it in the sauce, or this is just on the plate.
Yeah.
Just on the plate for you to eat or drink.
Okay, I'll give it a whirl for the kids. That's a Home Alone line. But yeah, it was really good. It was also very odd. Yes, it was Oktoberfest. I understand that, but like we went to this 1930s to have like, I don't know, classy meal, and they did have classy food on the menu, but it's a rotating menu, right? So I think every couple months they swap it out with a brand new one, and it was just Oktoberfest themed. Mm-hmm. So 1930s Germany is like,
they were in a deep recession at the time.
Yeah.
They were in a very bad spot, slowly creating a very bad man. Not Germany's fault, but, you know, still.
Yeah. All that fun jazz. But yeah. My biggest critique of the night in general, was me, actually.
Me too. No, I'm joking.
I you know, I was feeling an outfit. I found this vest at a thrift store, and it was, you know, interesting, and I was like, tonight's the night I rock it. And Margo took a picture of me, which is visible on our Instagram, mm-hmm. I think. If not, it will be for our October recap. And I look like a pirate. I thought I looked like a pirate. I definitely did. I either looked like a pirate or I looked like a waiter at a pirate restaurant.
Or like a carny, maybe.
Yeah. I was like, I had this, like, I don't know, what print is on the vest? It's not floral.
Paisley.
It's not paisley either, no? But it's between there.
It's, you know, it's a nice, like, it's a reddish, like a burgundy vest, and he decided to wear like a white flowy shirt, and I said, you don't look like a pirate. But then he started doing like a whole, like, I look like a pirate, and I was like, no, you don't. You don't look like a pirate. But when you pointed out, you could have said like something, you could have said anything, and then it's like, okay, well, I guess maybe a pirate might dress like that at some point. But no, I think you look more like a musketeer than anything. But you weren't even musketeer there. You weren't there. It looked like if somebody handed you like a what do you call it? Not a broadsword, but
A rapier.
You'd know what to do. Like, you know, let's say like a bad guy came into the 1930s and he was like, everybody get on the ground, which is tragic. But
I would jump up and say, no, have like, at thee.
No, you'd like see it. Like, you know, when they have him crossed and mounted on a wall, you'd like, he'd put you in a corner and he'd have his like his rapier, and you'd get your rapier, and then you would just, and then everyone would be like, of course he's wearing the vest and the flowy white shirt. So that's kind of what, you didn't look like a pirate, but you look like someone who knows how to sword fight.
Yeah. What's
you
worse? Did it.
You looked very good.
I'll give the listeners, that opportunity to chime in. What would be worse, to look like a pirate or look like a musketeer? One of the two.
How about we put a positive spin on it? What would be better, to look like a pirate or a musketeer?
Yes.
Or neither.
That's how I
felt. You look good. You look like a garbage fan.
We went to the concert and everyone was dressed like pirates.
No, you like, you know, you had your style. You had style. That's what it was. So we went to 1930s. August was like, I look like a pirate. I was wearing a leather jacket and I thought I looked pretty cool.
You did look pretty cool. And, you know, with what Margo mentioned, that Christmas list of cocktails, every place I go, I try to look to see if there's a Vesper, you know, just on the menu. Yes, you could ask the bartender, can you make a Vesper, if they have the correct stuff and all that. But I kind of like just finding it on the menu in the wild. And for some reason, our area just doesn't really have them. So with this being a 1930s cocktail bar, but it's just a cocktail bar in general, I assumed they would have something like that. Even like a specific martini, they didn't really have that either. I mean, they had the espresso martini, but you know,
everyone has an espresso martini now. Yeah, everybody has.
They're quite popular.
Yeah, and then they won't be, and then the Aperol Spritz is gonna come back. I was gonna have that, and then
so I you know, I could have just asked for a martini like I typically do, but I just wanted to see what they had on the menu. And to be 1,000% honest, I can't remember what it was called, but it was essentially a spicy old fashioned. And it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. And it did have a little kick to it. I don't typically go for a spicy cocktail, but this particular night when I was, you know, feeling like a pirate, I was like, give me the spiciest drink you have.
He ordered rum.
I didn't order rum. I must be a musketeer.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I rocked that particular evening. It came with like a big waft of basil in it too. So
just a whole bundle of basil. Like, they went, here you go. Drink up.
They squirt pesto in it. Yeah, not really. Yes.
I indeed. Bet a pesto cocktail would be good.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe some night I'll try that.
Yeah. For a guest.
For a guest.
Maybe an Italian guest.
Maybe Margo, would you like me to make someone that we know a specific cocktail that has pesto in it.
Yes.
That could be our good squeeze cocktail.
Yeah, it's just anything you have in the kitchen, you can make a cocktail. That's squeezing the life out of James Bond.
Maybe that's the garbage cocktail.
Pesto? You know?
Just anything you have in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
You silly goose.
Oops. So anyways, moving forward, we had a good meal. We had good drinks. I stuck with water because I was very tired. Like we said, it was a school night.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to bed pretty early as of late. So I was like, can't risk that.
The big bummer is we journeyed to the concert venue, and there's a bunch of great bars and restaurants, and it was still very early. I think we were still like an hour before the doors even open. So the intention was, hey, let's go, we'll park, and then we'll walk to, you know, the plethora of restaurants we could go to.
Yeah.
And we arrived, and it was downpour.
A curtain of water.
Yeah, could hardly see.
Yeah.
We did not have an umbrella. And like I said, I was dressed like a musketeer, and my vest was also suede.
Yeah.
I didn't preface that.
And mine was leather, my jacket.
Yes. So her pirate vest was leather.
Yeah.
So we were not about to go get dumped on a beer.
We were looking at the radar. We were playing a game in the car. That was fun. What were you doing? Blind rankings?
We're just doing blind rankings.
That was fun.
There, just...
Highly recommend if you're ever bored with your spouse or your friend or your whatever, just do blind rankings. It's fun.
Yeah.
But play fair. Don't like give the last one like, you know, rank who you'd rather have a sleepover with, and then the last one's like Jabba the Hutt, and it's like, all right, well, that was not fair. Anyways, so we hung out in the car and we're looking at the radar and everything. And I mean, you know what? I don't know what it is about being stuck where in the rain that just turns everybody into like a meteorologist or like some like expert tracker where you're like, you can see like a streak in the blue and you can see the direction where the clouds are going. So I'm guessing if the wind's traveling at because we were like, oh, in the next 20 minutes, we should be good. And 20 minutes passed and we're like, okay, maybe in 20 minutes after that. And it just would not stop. We were also very concerned because that venue is an outdoor venue, and we were very worried that we were going to get dumped on, and we wanted to get to the, like, general admission, like, the floor or whatever.
Yeah, this venue, it's like, it has a covered area, and then there's a field, and we, you know, we just got general admission, but first come, first serve, we went under that canopy,
yeah.
So we were like, we got to get in there.
Thank God, we got in line. They checked our bags. They said, you're good to go. And they turned it into an indoor venue.
Yeah, I totally forgot this spot in Pittsburgh. It has both. It's like a reversal. So like,
yeah.
If the band just turns the other way, they open this door and there's like this warehouse, essentially.
It was honestly like the best surprise in your 30s. You're like, God damn it, it's raining and I'm going to get wet. And they're like, don't worry, it's indoors. And you're like, wow, thank you. Also, this ends at 9. You're like, wow, amazing. Just kidding. That did not end at 9. But
I think it started at 9.
Yeah.
But
we got in.
Really cool venue. I hadn't been there in years and years and years. Margo's first time.
Mm-hmm.
As Stage AE for Jens Petzburgers and that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really nice. Got a drink. Got some, what did we get? Some Icy Light, some Pittsburgh beers.
I got the Icy Light Mango.
Yeehaw.
I was like, I need dessert. So that was it. That was my one drink of the night. They were very nice at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
The garbage fans. Perfectly fine crowd. I honestly was like, I could take any one of those guys. I could take them all at once because they were very nice. They were,
and
you
you're
know,
very mean.
Yeah, I'm terrible. Now I'm, yeah. Well, you know, get to know me. So yeah, they were just. It was just a very innocent crowd. Just very nice. Very just here to listen to garbage. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you go to concerts. Now, here's the thing. I just get a little overwhelmed in crowds, as everybody does. But I just like to kind of stake out what a crowd's going to look like. And if I feel like I'm like, I could be your leader, then I feel, you know, just a little bit better. It's a little boost in confidence. I highly recommend. This is a good trick. you know, just be like, yeah, I could lead you guys through a jungle or something, you know, like that gives you a boost of confidence within a crowd. That's how I handle my social anxiety. Tends to help, which I'm essentially saying, like, remember, you're better than everyone else. Just remember you're better than everyone. And you have huge muscles. Your muscles are so much bigger than everybody else's. And then you'll feel better.
And you're 8 feet tall.
25 feet tall and, you know, crouching down. And that's that. Now, I sound mean. I'm trying to say they were very lovely. Very lovely people. Yeah. Garbage
all
fans.
All this to say.
Garbage fans are very, like, positivity, you know, like. All the positivities, body positivity, mental health positivity, da, 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 da. It goes on and on and on. And it's very nice. It's very good refresher, or not refresher. It's a good, like, refreshing, you know, group to be around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that way,
too. Some of them were goofy, but, you know.
Yeah, well, so are we. I look like a pirate, so.
That's what you think we're like. Swashbuckling.
You're like, you said I look like I fit in with the garbage fans. All the garbage fans are like, what's this pirate doing here? I look like the guy from Dodgeball.
I forgot about that.
But, yeah, so we found our spot. You know, it was a standing section and leaned up against the railing. It was nice and comfy, cozy.
Yeah, we ran for that spot. We were like, there were no seats. That was not good news as two people in their 30s. no seats. And so there was that railing. And I like that. All around, there are definitely people who are a little bit older than us. They just sat on the ground. They didn't even care. They were like, I'm tired. My knees are going to hurt. This is my spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell a couple of people were very much like, us included, we're like guarding our spot with our lives. So like if August went to go get another beer, I hit a wide stance. It was a good wide stance. And it kind of just let people know like this is me and someone else's or just mine. Some guy definitely was trying to ask us to scoot down. And you're like, hey, or they were like, hey, can you scoot down a bit? Because they were trying to just like weasel their way into the railing. And we're like, no, we all earn these spots.
I was like, if I do, then I won't have.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the person next to us that was saving their spot for their wife, when they had that spot longer
than we were there. Yeah.
So we were like, hey, you know what? Like, I'm all about rules. And the rule is finders keepers. So, yeah. And, you know, we were like, oh, sorry, someone's already standing there. And he went, oh, okay. And I was like, has anyone ever said no to you in your life? Like, that was the only negative interaction, which comes to show. Great group of people. They were very nice.
Yeah. And the first band opened up. And once again, a band we had never heard. They're called Starcrawler.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, as soon as they started, that's also, I should have said this at the beginning. Margo and I are also big proponents of going and seeing a band. You don't know their catalog because there is that genuine excitement of coming out of it being a fan or coming out of it hearing a few songs that you're like, I'm going to listen to this later. And I just, I do enjoy going to concerts. I like hearing the opening bands, especially, I don't know why, but especially if I've never heard of them, because it's just an opportunity to hear something I wouldn't normally have found or sought out myself.
Mm-hmm.
So Starcrawler hits, and yeah.
They came out with this level of energy. I mean, it was intoxicating. You can't ask for, I don't think you could ask for a better opening band. Like, I'm still just thinking about, you know, we're just standing there. And, you know, they're all kind of coming out and this and that and getting set up. And their whole gear was pink, like all pink. And I was like, all right, cool. Nice way to stand out. Good way to stand out. And they start playing. And the lead singer is this like, she's like 90s skinny, which is, you know, whatever. It has nothing to do with, you know, the quality of the music or the voice or whatever. But the way that she moved was like Mick Jagger. She had the same physique as him. Again, 90s skinny. And like, the same, essentially the same hair, and just the mannerisms and the way, like, she was doing, like, these, like, hip thrusts, and I was like, oh, so indecent, but mesmerizing. Like, I was like, what's happening? Like, she, like, blew me away. I was entranced by her performance. The stuff she was doing, I mean, it was just electrifying. She was, like, jumping down to the ground and the this and the that, and doing like a little shimmy moonwalk thing and then like just banging her head on the drums and shit and like hitting every note perfectly while doing it. And yeah, it was just like, it reminded me, because before that, you know, I was a little tired and my knees hurt and I was like, nah, I want to go home. And they started and I was like, oh, nope. I forgot how much I like this. Because this is the first concert we've been to in...
Since like 2021,
oh,
maybe.
My God. Was it Tool, the last
one? Yeah, we went and saw Tool.
Oh, my gosh. And we were sitting for that. So, you know, like, I was like, oh, I can't wait to sit. And I was like, psych, no, you can't. But yeah, it was the perfect reintroduction to a concert. Them. So good. Everyone on stage was just... I mean, I'm just thinking about it, and I mean, I've never been so immersed in a performance mm-hmm. before.
And yeah, like you said, they were like full cowling, full of energy, mm-hmm. and the lead guitarist, he even announced like at one point, not as an excuse, just like as like, hey, we're kicking ass. He had like 102 degree fever.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And he was just going nuts.
Ripping.
We thought the sweat was because of, you know, the exertion of energy, yeah, but it was the fever.
He was dying. Yeah. And immediately after the show, they just hopped on in their car and they drove to Canada.
Yeah.
So like, that's crazy.
Off to the next show.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great. And what was also kind of fun is they did sing a song that was familiar. They sang a rendition of the song Pet Sematary by the Ramones, but their version is featured in the... Oh, I can't remember the year. It might have been 2019 version of Pet Sematary, yeah. that remake of Pet Sematary.
It is their number one song on Spotify, but right on. Check out the rest of their catalog. It's excellent. It's absolutely excellent.
Mm-hmm.
They are just as good, if not better, on stage. But I mean, in terms of the sound, very accurate to what it sounds like in the recorded version.
Right.
But... obviously, the live performance is better because you get to see the flippity-doo-dahs and the just frickin' so good. Look, I'm not swearing. What was I going to say? I'm not doing a very good job putting this into words because I don't know music. This is a perfect example. I do not know music, so I don't know how to describe music. I'm just like, it was so good, and I liked it, and it was really good. So I'm also a novice in that situation.
You can speak on how it made you feel, though.
It made me feel good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were excellent. I was looking forward to, you know, listening to them again. I'm like, all right, I'm going to play their stuff on Spotify in the morning for sure.
Oh, yeah.
What was kind of funny is as we're enjoying this band, some upcoming incident was brewing that ended up being a kind of a problem throughout the rest of the night for Margo and I. I say a problem, but it's just what it is.
Yeah.
Margo and I are not particularly tall
people.
We're
little guys.
Yes. So if anyone stands in front of us,
it's game over.
Game over.
And not only that, not only are we little guys, we get upset pretty quickly.
And me in particular, I'm pretty passive. So I'll just silently be angry the rest of my life. But instead of, you know, approaching a situation. So
but he tenses up and he's like.
I get it like Joe Pesci in Home Alone. Another Home Alone reference in this episode.
I get Joe Pesci outwardly. You get Joe Pesci inwardly.
Yes. So, yeah, slowly throughout the evening as this opening band, Starcrawler, was playing, there's this group of people who just, they weren't in front of us at the top of the show, but slowly as the show progressed, they made their way in front of us. And it was just like, there's a little window. You could kind of like, if you stood one way, you could kind of see. If you stood the other, you could kind of see. But if you just wanted to stand normal, you could only see the back of someone's head.
Yep.
So that was a bummer, here and there, but we assumed that, you know, once the headliner came on, once Garbage came out, everyone would kind of mush more towards the front, which was indeed the case. Like when Garbage was gearing up to come out and ultimately when they did this, you know, stage AE, this concert venue was packed.
Mm-hmm.
It was so full and like hardly standing room, you know. But Garbage did come out and we had a great view for a while. But Garbage came out and they started playing, and like Margo and I had mentioned at the top, we knew none of their catalog. We were waiting for World Is Not Enough. But they came out with, I don't know the names either, but they came out and played a song. What were your immediate thoughts of hearing Garbage, Mark?
Let me think. My immediate thoughts?
Good.
Hold on. My immediate thoughts were underwhelmed.
Interesting.
I was very underwhelmed. Yeah. It's not like I didn't like it. I loved the lead singer's look. I liked that it was just like old dudes. And it was like, and then like two older ladies. I loved it. I was like, hell yeah. This is what, this makes, I love the look of it. I love the look of their band. First impression, good. They started singing and doing their stuff. And I was like, that's all right. I wasn't impressed, but thank God for Stockholm Syndrome, because by the end of the night, I was very happy with it. Here's what I didn't like, and back to your point, see, I wasn't going to interrupt, that guy who was standing in front of us, you know, you can kind of get a good window for a minute until the band that he paid to see starts playing, because then everybody starts swaying, and that's when you don't have that visibility anymore. And this guy was a freaking windshield wiper, just for back and forth and back and forth. We're like, all right, pick a spot, guy, and stay there. You are 6 feet tall. You don't get that privilege, all right? That's short people privilege. You get to dance around, move your arms, move your head. You're not blocking anyone. Quit doing that. And you actually put your hand on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he gave you the nastiest look.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I do intervene, that means I'm, like, past a boiling point.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, he was more than, he was probably, like, 6'3". He was a tall dude.
Yeah.
And his legs were spread, like, he might as well have been trying to do a split.
Yeah.
He was just taking up a lot of space, and he was swaying 2 feet this way, 2 feet that way, 2 feet this way, 2 feet that way. So if you were just standing there behind him, it was just like, I can see, I can't see, I can see, I can't see, I can see, I can't see. And I was just like, I put my hand to stop him from swaying, and it like, it didn't hurt my arm, but it was like, holy shit. It was like he like tackled my hand. I'm like, see, stop moving.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like, what do you want?
Don't touch me. Don't you know who my father is? It was like, all right, I want you to calm down, guy. He was swaying. Then his friends were like, come over here. And then he left, and we're like, thank God. But here's, you know, after that happened was when the show kind of started picking up. And
yeah, I would say, at least for me, and I think for you, maybe you'll enlighten me, but I think that was like the, all the negativity of the evening was just that.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Yeah.
It was a great
night. Great. People were nice. Like I said, what's her name? What's the lead singer's name? Let's call her Lady.
Shirley.
I'll call her Lady. So
Shirley Manson.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, Lady was very, very nice. Just so charming. Scottish accent, which helps. Loved the audience. She had a really nice little like story about her, the last time she was in Pittsburgh, and she how the kindness of the fans and how excited they were to see her made her feel shy because it was so overwhelming and there was such a passion to it. And I don't know if she was, she could have made up anything. She could have made up any story, but it was lovely that she put in that effort to connect with the audience because it worked. And she, you know, they're very LGBTQ friendly. It was very lovely the way that she was talking about it. She was inviting, you know, this camaraderie within like being yourself and being able to stand up to people who don't accept you, but also to encourage others to just, you know, if you don't like something, just leave it be. Go, you go be you, I'll go be me, and that's it. And it was just a very lovely message of peace. There wasn't that idea of like, you know, like, let's go after them. Like, none of that. It was very lovely. And she had a really great way of connecting with her audience, which I really appreciate. You know, it didn't feel like it was like, okay, guys, don't I look so cool up here? Anyways, here's the next one. Like, it was like her thanking everyone for coming out and for, you know, being there and supporting them. And she's talking about, you know, what it's like being an older woman in this industry and how people are always asking her, are you going to retire? Are you going to retire? And this idea that, you know, a lot of women are faced with that once they reach a certain age, but for men, they don't face that as much, if at all. And that was something that made her really upset, and she wrote a whole song about it that was really great. And
it was a banger, too, yeah, that song.
She really put a really lovely story to most of her songs. She really did a good job of explaining the, you know, the lyrics behind it. And, you know, she wasn't, like, telling us how to feel, but she was like, this is how I came up with this song, or this is how this happened, or here's a little story here and there. It wasn't over the top. I don't like it when they spend, like, 20 minutes telling you a story. But she kept it tight, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but... So by the end of it, because she was giving us context for each song, which as a novice is great because she's just kind of telling us about herself, and it was very inviting to new fans. And so by the end of it, I was like very on board. I thought the light show or whatever that they had.
Yeah, the light design.
Light design was so cool. We got a really sick picture, I think, of her with like her ponytail like swaying back with the light just kind of like blasting her. It was really cool. Visually impressive, very good performance, excellent voice, really good music, but it did take some time for me to warm up to it.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, besides the storytelling aspect of the concert, she did feel like they gave like this unique connection with our crowd. And not to say it's like different than other places, but... it felt very unique to us as opposed to like, I'm here, let's insert new city here.
How you doing, Pittsburgh?
How you doing, Cleveland? Have the best fans ever here in New York. The
best audiences really are in Pittsburgh. Like, yeah. Thank you, but yeah.
Nah, it didn't feel like that. She even told a few stories of like previous times in Pittsburgh and how she feels like Pittsburghers are so polite. Yeah. And it's like a dying art.
She called us polite.
Yeah.
So nice.
Like, you liar. No. Yeah. But yeah, I think. What you're saying about warming up is because, truthfully, the opening band Starcrawler and Garbage, they are very different in sound. Very different. So the energy and just the type of music in general was very different than what opened with Garbage. So it's kind of like, what's the word? Startling almost. It's like, okay.
It's like hot, going from the hot tub to
the cold tub.
Yeah.
And like I said, I had never heard a Garbage song other than The World Is Not Enough. And overall, I really liked them. Actually, funny enough, the next day I listened to a lot of the songs we heard that night on Spotify, and I liked it so much better live.
Yeah.
I thought they were just so good live. It was a great show. The sound was incredible. And then listening to it on Spotify, it sounded a little more tame almost.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It felt like each instrument was so utterly separated.
Mm.
Very separated from the voice and everything. Well, you know, when they were on stage, there's a lot of synergy. Now, I think that's the obvious answer is when you're recording, most times you're in your own little booth playing your instrument, and then they like mix everything together. That makes sense. But you can't lose that synergy and you can't lose that connection that you have on stage when you're recording. And I think that is something that was lost. In my opinion, there was just wasn't there, you know?
Yeah, and like the studio album, but we might be speaking on that purely because we had our only exposure was them live, and it was like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like other individuals who I've spoken to, and we mentioned, we went and saw Garbage the other day. They're like, what? They were in town. I'm like, oh, you've heard of them? I'm like, yeah, I've heard. I've been listening to them my whole life.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so many people that I mentioned to, like in group gatherings and stuff like that, they were like, holy crap, you guys got to see Garbage. That's awesome. I've been a fan. I have all their CDs and yada, yada. I'm like, oh, and I explained our story. We had never heard them before. And so I wonder if like someone who enjoys like their studio albums and those recordings, if they would even say that, how you put it.
Yeah.
Probably not. But all this to say, they're incredible live.
Yeah.
If you have the opportunity, go check them out. Because, yeah, like Margo said, not even by the end, very early on, I was like, all right, I'm into this stuff. This is really cool, really good. All right, where's The World's Not Enough? Actually, I was like, where's The World's Not Enough? Hearing their music, I'm like, how?
Yeah.
Like that World Is Not Enough sounds nothing like any of their other stuff. I'm like, it like oil and water. So David Arnold, who, you know, helped compose all that and did compose all that, he has a genius level musical mind, 'cause he wanted Garbage. He wanted Shirley Manson's voice and that band and his vision and his musical mind to make this song. And he did. But yeah, just hearing it, I'm like, this is wildly different.
It's, you know, so that's kind of what I was expecting it to sound like. And I think that might also be a big part of why I was like, oh, okay, like a little thrown off. Well, one, Starcrawler was amazing. And two, I was expecting that kind of like not whiny, but that kind of like sultry. Yeah. Sound?
I was gonna say whiny, a sultry,
just a little bit.
The world is not.
Come on,
get out of town.
It's not for me. That's okay. So I'm kind of okay with them not playing it, but no, I would have been fine hearing it live. But you know what I mean. It's so I was expecting them. There was nothing like it. I was like, oh wait, what? So it took some readjusting. Not that that was like a huge thing. And also, when I say like I wasn't super into it at first, it was maybe like the first song or something. And then by the second one, you know, she's talking to us. She's warming us up. I'm like, cool, I'm on board. This is great. And again, I'd rather like something than dislike something. It's fun to complain, but at the end of the day, if you can have a good time, it's so much more worth it. What was I going to say? My big thing is I have gone back and listened to Starcrawler. I have not gone back and listened to Garbage. I did the day after at work, you know, like just kind of listen while I was doing work and stuff. But it didn't click with me.
Mm.
Live, I would go again. Mm-hmm. I would certainly go again. Not that we can, because they said they're never coming back to the United States because it's too expensive. Sorry, everyone, to break it to you. But she told us, and it was funny because I was just right before she said that, I was having this thought. I was like, what if that's like our band? Like, what if that's the band we just go see live? We're not the number one fans. We're not, you know,
mm-hmm.
like saying anything like, oh, we love all your music, I listen to your music all the time. What if that's like our band that we never really listen to, but we always go see when they're in town?
Yeah, whenever they're cool? in town or around, like we'll travel a bit to go see them.
And then she was like, we're never coming back. I was like, oh my God, okay, never mind.
That answers that.
She was very sweet about it. She wasn't saying like, I hate the U.S. She was just saying like, monetarily, it's just not
feasible
because they want to keep ticket prices low and affordable. But if they want to make a profit, they're going to need to raise them to an unrealistic level. And it's easier to avoid that. And I respect that a lot. Mm-hmm. I very much do. I think that's a great way to navigate that. You don't feed into that machine. You go against it and you say, all right, well, if you guys want to make an outreach, because it's fees. It's Ticketmaster. It's all those guys. They're just ruining that industry. And yeah, so go buy albums. Go buy physical media, because that's what's going to get ticket prices down. Because if they can make money off of like physical media, they're not going to be, there won't be that as much of an emphasis to sell tickets at shows.
Yeah.
So go buy your favorite artist physical media. Do it all the time. It's worth it. And you'll be doing a service to your fellow music fans. So, yeah.
Yeah. I have gone back and listened to Garbage a few times. I like the song Push It. I like the song Queer.
Oh, Queer's great.
I liked, I can't remember the name, but it was the one that's like, wait a minute.
Oh, I think it's called Wait a Minute.
No, it's not. It's called Chinese Fire Horse.
Chinese Fire Horse.
Yeah, Chinese Fire Horse. I've listened to that. And yeah. And of course, The World Is Not Enough. So we're waiting and waiting. And to a degree, because we are enjoying the night. It did hit us, and we knew the gamble, like, they might not play the song. And yes, we have the internet. We could have looked up their set list and chose not to. They were touring, so other cities had, you know, heard this set list. Chose not to look it up. Just that's kind of how we roll. But yeah, ultimately did not play The World Is Not Enough. I was like, maybe for an encore. No. And, you know, ultimately, like I mentioned, it felt like, how did they get that song out of this, you know, the sound? It just would not have fit the vibe of the night, you know?
Certainly not.
It would have felt very bizarre. And, you know, it's so funny. Marco keeps dogging on The World Is Not Enough. I did not know she didn't care for that song so much. It's one of my favorites.
One of my favorites. Don't worry about it.
We're getting divorced.
There's a lot of bomb themes. I'm like, I don't want to listen. It's not that I've avoid. Like, if you put it on, I'm not going to be like, turn that off. It's awful. I'm going to be like, okay, that's nice. Like, it's okay. It's part of the Bond playlist that you've got and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nothing against it. But if someone was like, wait, do you want to listen to The World Is Not Enough? I'd say no.
Wow.
No, thank you.
Would you rather listen to The World Is Not Enough or The Living Daylights?
Honestly, Living Daylights, because I can make fun of it.
Wow.
The Living Daylights. Hold on, guys. The Living Daylights. Brilliant. Brilliant stuff, aha.
Would you rather The World Is Not Enough or A View to a Kill?
I like A View to a Kill. Mm-hmm. I really like A View to a Kill. I like the movie a lot and I like the song a lot.
Would you rather The World Is Not Enough or All Time High?
All Time High. Wow. That's a great one.
Let me go through all the themes until we find where this ranking is for you. Where is it lie? So far, it's your least favorite.
Yeah.
Is it your least favorite?
No, no. Living Daylights is.
But you just said.
No, I'd rather listen to it to make fun of it.
Yeah.
Like, just enunciate. I hate that song.
So, okay.
The World Is Not Enough. I don't hate it. I hate The Living Daylights. I just don't. It's mid tier for me.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah.
No, I love it. I love it. I remember watching the VHS growing up, and right before the movie started, they would show that music video, and I was like so confused, but I was also like 9 years old and like, what's going on here? This like robot woman is seducing people and shooting them with a gun in her mouth. It was like, I have a lot of memories of those things. And of course the opening credits are crazy. Just like, it's just a sound, especially that opening, you know, boom, 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 it sounds just like that. Has just been a sound.
Let me try.
No, please. Please, no. It's just been a sound that's, you know, been in my ears most of my life. So I was hoping to hear it, you know, from our first James Bond band, but alas, did not, and that's okay. We'll try again next time.
I mean, it's not the song that put them on the map. Most people are already on the map before they get a Bond theme. I mean, Billie Eilish isn't necessarily performing her song at her concerts. She's doing it at like the Oscars and blah, 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 whatever. Mm. But, excuse me, it's not, you know, most of her fans aren't asking for it. Same with Sam Smith, same with Adele, you know. Oh, Skyfall, honestly, became. I think that might be one that just breached the Bond fandom, because I remember hearing that and I had no idea it was a Bond theme and loving it. But
but ultimately, yes, we went and saw our first James Bond band. They did not play James Bond song. We were James Bond okay with it.
That'd be a great pen, like James Bond okay with it.
Double okay.
Double
with
okay
it.
With it. Stop. That's so good. All right.
But yeah.
Trademark, nobody steal it. I swear to God, if anybody sees it, I'll know it's us. So.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, had a good, like I said at the top, life can be hard. We escaped. We squeezed a little James Bond into our Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Went and had a nice meal. Dressed up a little bit, dressed up like a pirate.
Yeah.
Had some nice cocktails. Went and saw some live music. And made some memories.
Along with those memories, the end of the show, we were walking towards the car, and there's this little lady talking with her guy friend, and that she was so unbelievably grateful that she got to go to this concert. Mm-hmm. The things she was saying, I can't remember, but they were very kind, and she was so jazzed about it. She's talking about it beat for beat, being like, you know, it really got me out of a slump, and the thing about that song is what it means to me is this and that. And she's just regaling the night, and I was like, you know what, I want to hang out with you. I was like, I want to be part of that conversation.
Yeah, she was like super, I remember she was super passionate, super articulate.
Yes.
And I remember looking at you and being like, the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I felt exactly the same.
We should have her on.
Yeah, like she's putting into the words that I don't even know how to speak.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was a great. It was a great way to end the night too, because it was just like super positive.
Because that's the thing is, when you're seeing a show, you want it. You want other people to have fun. You want to be around people who are happy to be there. So sometimes there's been plenty of times you walk out of a show, an event, whatever, something, and you're in front of someone who's like, or like, God, I can't believe this. And you don't necessarily pick up on it, but it does affect you somehow. Versus if someone's being ultra positive, that you'll notice, and it'll affect you positively. That's very important.
Yeah.
Vocalize your gratitude for these things.
Yes, indeed. But that's it for this adventure that we had here on A Good Squeeze, how we squeeze a little James Bond into our date night, indeed.
And
yeah, please.
May I offer, I think we should rank this if this is for novice or nostalgic. It's garbage. Garbage life.
Well, that's easy.
I think we agree.
Nostalgic. No.
Yeah.
novice, for sure.
Absolutely.
We're a great example of novices going into this band and had a great time.
They're
with their
novice
music.
Friendly.
Yeah. No, you should make that into a shirt, too.
We're having great ideas during this episode.
Yeah, definitely for the novice. Feel free to check them out. And hopefully they're up your alley and you'll have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But on that note, speaking
the verdict of... Verdict isn't. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. The verdict isn't. Put that on a sticker, too.
Oh, thank God.
All right. On that note, if people want to have a good time, where can they find us on that social media stuff?
That's right. Well, now in charge of the social media, Mr. August, you can find us on Instagram and only Instagram. And that's it.
You'll see posts and stories of what we're doing on the daily and how we squeeze a little James Bond here and there. But then, you know, we like to share just a little personal side of our lives, see what Margo and I are doing and the stuff we're looking at, if it's James Bond related or if it's, you know, we're in October, we went to a pumpkin patch, for example.
Yes, we did.
Stuff like that. But and then, hey, you can listen to us wherever you're listening to us. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Play. Our main hub is Audio Boom. That's like the branch of where all these podcasts go out, but that's our URL base. Until next time, I'm August.
And I'm Margo.
And this has been...
An extra special episode of...
A Good Squeeze.
Like how I did that?
Yeah.